Side 6, Dark Apprentice, The Jedi Academy Trilogy, Volume 2, by Kevin J. Anderson. Continuing on page 281. The rat creature yelped, gnashing its tusks until it chomped down and split the exoskeleton of the spider roach with a cracking pop. Then, contented, it slurped the juicy, soft meat and licked its black lips. The rat creature panted and rolled its wet red eyes at the two children. Hopeful, the twins peered out from the cage. "We are lost," Jaina said, calling to the ogre from between the bars. "Please help us find our home," Jason added. The ogre fixed its yellow eye on them. A foul, wet stench came from his mouth, like slime scraped from the bottoms of a thousand sewers. He spoke in a bubbling voice, slurring the words. "No," the ogre said. "Gonna eat you." Then he tottered off on his shriveled leg toward a smoldering fireplace. The ogre found a pair of long, sharp tongs resting in the hot coals. Holding the implements high, the ogre turned back to the twins. Jason and Jaina both looked at the top of their cage. The articulated finger joints were held together by small pins clogged with grease and rust, but smooth enough that the cage could open and close. The twins each knew which pins the other concentrated on and used their rudimentary ability with the Force, just as they did when they played tricks on 3PO and played the games that their Uncle Luke showed them. They popped out the cage pins two at a time in rapid succession. Small pieces of metal flew like tiny projectiles in all directions. Suddenly, without support, the long metal fingers fell open to the ground with an incredible clang. "Run!" Jason cried. Jaina took his hand and they scrambled toward the tunnel. The ogre let out a furious roar and stumped after them, but he could not keep up on his uneven legs. Instead, he grabbed the thick chain holding the rat monster to the wall and yanked out the long spike that held its collar together. Set free, the rat creature lunged. Turning, it tried to snap its teeth at the ogre, but he used a muscle-swollen arm to bash the rat thing away from him. He gestured toward the fleeing children. And they ran, and they ran. The rat creature came howling and slobbering after them. The twins ran out of the fire-lit opening and dashed down an alley. Behind them, they could hear the steam engine sounds of the creature as it snorted, following their scent. Its claws clattered on the pavement. Jaina found a small dark gash in the wall, a hole broken into the layered duracrete. "Here," she said. Jaina dived into the tiny hole head first, and her brother clambered after. Only a second later, the rat creature jammed its tusked snout against the jagged opening, but it could not get its head through the hole. By that time, Jason and Jaina had scrambled on their hands and knees, burrowing deep into the unexplored darkness.
"Oh, we never should have agreed to babysit," 3PO wailed. "I wonder how often babysitters actually lose their children."
Chewbacca growled at him.
"Why didn't you listen to me, Chewbacca? Mistress Leia will have all your fur shaved off so she can make a new rug. You will be the first bald Wookiee in history."
Chewbacca bellowed a suggestion as they stormed down the corridors, still searching the holographic zoo for extinct animals.
"You can go to the control room if you like. I think we should sound the alarm here and now. It is perfectly acceptable to summon help. This is an emergency."
3PO found the fire alarm and activated it with one golden hand. Next, he searched among the holographic exhibits until he also found a security alarm. Without hesitation, he pressed the button.
"There, that should do it."
Chewbacca growled in 3PO's face with enough force that the droid's audio sensors shut down to reset themselves. Then he manhandled 3PO in his furred Wookiee arms, carrying him bodily down the hall at a fast lope.
"All right, have it your way, then," 3PO said. "We'll go to the control center and shut down all the holograms."
Jason and Jaina felt the slimy surface of the tunnel as they crawled downward. They had no idea where they were going, but they knew they had to find some other way home. Jason reached up, felt no close ceiling, and climbed to his feet. The twins could see nothing in the darkness, only a faint glow ahead. They made their way toward it, cautiously this time, afraid they might find another ogre. Jason smelled sizzling meat, and he heard guttural words, the first human voices they had heard since deciding to go home without 3PO and Chewbacca. Jason started toward the light, but Jaina held onto his arm.
"Careful," she said.
Jason nodded and put a finger to his lips as a reminder. They inched forward, hearts hammering. They smelled the delicious scents of cooked food, heard the crackle of fire, the chattering voices. They reached a corner and peered around it to see a large blasted-out room, a low-level reception area used thousands of years ago. Jason and Jaina could see a bonfire, tattered figures moving between light and shadow, banks of dimly functioning glow crystals, and a glimpse of blinking computer equipment. Then suddenly, from all sides, silent hands reached out to grab them. Firm grips, wiry arms. Five sentries struck at once, snatching Jason and Jaina and whisking them off their feet before they had a chance to struggle. The sentries laughed even as the children squealed in terror. A cheer went up from the people around the bonfire as the sentries carried the twins out into the bright light. Alarms pulsed and whooped in the control center of the holographic zoo. Red signals flashed, yellow lights blinked on and off in indecipherable patterns. 3PO was impressed at the commotion he had managed to cause just by activating a few security systems. The zoo's control droid sat in the center of an octagonal computer bank. It had a spherical head encircled by optical sensors mounted every 36 degrees. From its central station, the control droid sprouted eight segmented limbs that scrambled over the panels, pecking at the buttons in a blur of motion like fire-linked blaster cannons. "Permission denied," the control droid said to them. Chewbacca roared, but the control droid merely spun its spherical head and ignored the Wookiee's outburst. "I feel required to warn you," 3PO said to the other droid, "that when Wookiees lose their tempers, they are known to rip limbs out of their sockets. I believe Chewbacca here is on the verge of losing his temper." Chewbacca leaned forward on one of the segmented control panels, gripped it with his hairy paws, and roared again into one of the multiple eyes. "Permission still denied," the control droid said.
"But you don't understand," 3PO insisted. "There are two lost children inside your holographic zoo. If you would just shut down the image generators, we could search the habitats and find them."
"Unacceptable," the control droid said. "It would cause too great a disturbance among the other guests." 3PO indignantly propped his metallic arms on his hips.
"But the zoo looked empty when we toured it. How many other patrons are currently using the facility?"
"Irrelevant," the control droid said. "Such an action is strictly forbidden except in conditions of extreme emergency." 3PO waved his golden hands in the air.
"But this is an emergency."
Chewbacca had apparently had enough of formal requests. He bunched his fists together and brought them down on the first control bank, smashing the glossy black coverings and shattering circuit connections. Sparks flew. The control droid's head spun around like a planet knocked out of its orbit.
"Excuse me," the control droid said. "Please don't touch the controls."
Chewbacca went to the second segment of the octagonal board and smashed it as well. The control droid flailed its eight articulated limbs, trying to bypass circuits in the remaining systems.
"I must admit, Chewbacca, that your enthusiasm makes up for any lack of finesse," 3PO said.
In no time, the Wookiee had ruined the entire set of panels. Without a single functioning hologram-generating system, the control droid folded all eight of its articulated arms like a dead insect and seemed to sulk.
Chewbacca yanked 3PO's mechanical arm and hauled him back down to the holographic habitat. Now every chamber was empty, white-tiled walls with strategically mounted hologram generators at the vertices of the room. Various guests had dropped garbage in among the illusions, refreshment wrappers, torn scraps of paper, and half-eaten non-organic treats that had failed to decompose.
"Jason! Jaina!" 3PO called.
Alarms continued to squawk as Chewbacca and 3PO passed from one habitat to the next. 3PO called up the data brochure inside his computer brain and guided the search, methodically moving from one room to another. Every cell in the deactivated holographic zoo looked identical, and they found the children in none of them. When they finally hurried to the last chamber, hoping against hope that they would discover the twins crouched in the corner and waiting to be rescued, they were suddenly met by the New Republic militia charging toward them in response to all the alarms. "Halt," the captain of the guard said. 3PO instantly counted 18 humans, all wearing blaster-proof armor. The militia members drew their weapons and leveled them. In all his adventures, 3PO couldn't recall ever having seen so many blaster barrels pointed directly at him.
"Oh, my," he said.
The feral humans brought Jason and Jaina before their king. The flickering warmth of the junk heap bonfire made a pleasant smell. The strips of unrecognizable meat roasting on long skewers caused both children to lick their lips. Grimy-faced sentries looked down at the twins and smiled. Their mouths seemed a checkerboard of yellow teeth and black gaps. The king of the underground humans sat on a tall pile of ragged cushions. He laughed.
"These are the fearsome intruders?"
Jason and Jaina looked around themselves, gathering details. The refugees in the former reception area had bedrolls, tattered clothing, and stashes of scavenged possessions. Some sat mending rags, others worked on spring-loaded animal traps. Two old men crouched holding small musical instruments cobbled together from old pipes. They blew into the mouthpieces, comparing high whistling notes. The feral people wore torn and threadbare clothing, some mended, some not, all very old. They had long hair. The men wore bushy beards. Their skin was pale, as if they had not seen sunlight for decades. Some of them might never have seen natural light at all. The king seemed to have the best materials. He wore shoulder pads and polished white gloves taken from a stormtrooper. His eyebrows were large, his reddish-brown beard wispy. Though his face was the color of raw bread dough, his eyes were bright and alert. His smile also showed gaps from missing teeth, but it contained real humor. Around and behind the king hung jury-rigged electronic equipment, computer panels, holographic display modules, even one old-model food processing unit. Ancient generators had been wired into the frayed energy grid of the skyscrapers, skimming power from the main flow through Imperial City. The lost people had obviously been down here a long time. "Get these children some food," the king yelled, bending down to look at them. "Well, now, my name is Dakim. What are your names?"
"Jaina,"
Jason said, indicating his sister. Jaina pointed to her brother.
"Jason."
A sentry with gray blonde hair tied in a long ponytail brought a smoking skewer of the roasted meat. He yanked off the red-black pieces of meat with his fingers and dropped them onto a squarish metal platter that had originally been some sort of cover plate. The sentry blew on his fingers, licked the juices, and grinned at the children. He set the platter down in front of them, and the twins sat on the floor, crossing their legs. "Blow on the meat before you put it in your mouth," the king said. "It's hot." The twins picked up small morsels, dutifully blowing until the meat was cool enough to chew. King Dakim seemed to delight in just watching them. "So what were you doing down here all alone? It's dangerous, you know. Would you like to stay here with us?" the king said. "We're all growing old. It's been too long since young people joined us down here." Jason and Jaina shook their heads.
"We are lost," Jaina said, around a mouthful of meat.
A thick welling of tears appeared at the edge of her eyelids. Jason also started to cry.
"Please help us find our home," he said, looking toward the high ceiling.
Somewhere up in the distance lay their living quarters.
"Up there?" King Dakim said, comically incredulous. "Why would you want to go back up there? The Emperor lives up there. He's a bad man."
Dakim shook his head and gestured around him.
"We have everything we want here. We have food. We have light. We have our things."
Jason shook his head at Dakim.
"I want to go home."
With a sigh, Dakim glanced back at his banks of computer terminals and then flashed them a defeated smile.
"Of course you want to go home. Just finish up your supper. You'll need your strength."
The sergeant of the militia escorted 3PO and Chewbacca back to Han and Leia's quarters in the old Imperial Palace. "Our records indicate that Minister Organa Solo and her husband returned not more than an hour ago," the sergeant said. Chewbacca moaned dejectedly. 3PO shot a sharp glance at him.
"I think you should be the one to tell them what happened, Chewbacca. After all, I'm only a droid."
"Rest assured, we're doing everything we can," the sergeant said. "We've had our teams combing the holographic zoo and the adjoining floors just in case the twins found an emergency staircase. We're checking the logs of the maintenance droid just to be sure that no one used the turbo lift that was being serviced." He snapped to attention. "We'll find them. Don't you worry." 3PO used the override code on the doorway to open it. Then he and Chewbacca stepped into the living quarters to find Han and Leia sitting on the self-conforming chairs with the twins balanced on their knees.
"Children! Oh, thank goodness, you're home!" 3PO cried.
Chewbacca thundered a high-pitched bellow. Han and Leia both turned to look at them.
"Well, there you two are."
3PO noticed at once that one of the panels from the air ventilation system had been knocked off, apparently from the inside. A stranger, a large man, dressed in tattered but ornate clothing, dashed to shelter behind one of the larger pieces of furniture. He had long reddish-brown hair, a wispy beard, and uncommonly pale skin. Leia returned her attention to the rag-clad man.
"Seriously, Mr. Dakim, I can't tell you how much we appreciate what you've done. I assure you the New Republic will do everything it can to repatriate all your people.
Dakim shook his head. The Emperor never forgave mistakes, not even accounting mistakes. We saw many of our fellow civil servants either executed or sent off to horrendous penal colonies. As soon as we caught ourselves in a simple but irrevocable filing error, we knew we didn't have long to live, so we grabbed what we could and fled to the underlevels of Imperial City. My people have been living there for years. We're just a bunch of feral bureaucrats who don't know any other life.
We could find a place for you in the New Republic. We don't punish people for simple mistakes. We could bring you all back, Leia said again. Look around you. We could give you your own quarters like these. Many of the buildings in the old Imperial City are abandoned.
We know, Dakim said. We live there ourselves sometimes. Thank you for your offer.
He stood up and cast a suspicious glance toward 3PO and Chewbacca. He patted Jason and Jaina on the head and flashed his gap-toothed smile.
You're good little children. Your mommy and daddy should be proud of you.
Han cleared his throat and extended his hand in thanks. The tattered man grabbed it and shook vigorously, as if pleased to give a firm, businesslike handshake.
I still don't understand why you want to stay down in those murky lower levels, Han said.
Dakin swung one leg into the ventilation duct and looked around.
It's very simple, he said. Up here, I was just a file clerk. Down there, I am a king.
With a last smile for all of them, Dakim vanished into the ventilation ducts. They heard him thumping and scrambling as he disappeared down the access tubes.
Well, everything turned out right after all, 3PO said. Isn't this wonderful?
In answer, Han and Leia both glared at him.
We want a story, the twins said in unison.
27. Kip Doran brought his stolen ship into orbit around the small forest moon of Endor, where the second Death Star had been destroyed. Ignoring the sensors on board his stolen Z-95 headhunter, he let his eyes fall closed. He reached out with his sensibility, seeking across the entire landscape for shadows or ripples in the forest. He had to find the last resting place of the only other Dark Lord of the Sith he knew of, Darth Vader. Exar Kun, who had lived long before Vader, was pleased to know that the Lords of the Sith had continued for millennia, but Kip still felt driven to find answers to the clamoring questions in his mind. Master Skywalker said that Darth Vader, his own father, had returned to the light side in the end.